With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Curzon Film Podcast. I'm Helen Seymour and I'm joined by Jenna Holt.
Hiya.
And Danny Berrick-Tanady.
Hello.
How are you doing, guys?
Pretty good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Danny?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Good. This week we are discussing Thomas Vinterberg's The Commune. Vinterberg, probably best known for Far From the Madding Crowd, Submarino, The Hunt, and Festen, which was the first film in the Dogma 95. I don't know much about that. You know a little more, Danny?
So Festen was released in 1998, I believe, and it was the first film that Thomas and the rest of the Dogma 95 directors and producers made. The Dogma 95 was a movement that they started, and it was basically about making films with simplicity of technical, mm-hmm. and less lighting and not much editing, and just characters and development of them, basically.
Nice.
So what is about, like, plot and character study rather than style and flashiness?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Do you think there's some overlaps with The Commune?
I think so. I mean, Festen was all about family relationships and how when they got together, that kind of broke them apart. Mm-hmm. And I thought in The Commune, obviously, they're not the characters in The Commune are not related, but they're still kind of like a family.
Yeah.
And we see how they bond together and also fall apart at certain points.
Certainly, yeah. So Vinterberg's most recent offering takes a look at life in the commune and the idea that everyone together can mean we all fall apart. So this film is actually based on Vinterberg's screenplay of the same title, inspired by his childhood experience of living in a commune. So, guys, my question is, mm-hmm. if you could live in a commune with anyone from the film world, who would you pick?
That's tough. I don't know. I think, like, my instinct is to go for, like, a bunch of, like, young actors, because I feel like we would have a great time.
Thinking fun.
Yeah. But I think I'm not going to move in without Judi Dench. Because, like, hear me
How
out.
How would you get Dench? Okay, go.
Okay, because I feel like someone needs to take control of the ship, and no one would do that better than Judi. I also think she's got some, like, mad cooking skills up her sleeve. And also I feel like she'd just be there for me whenever I needed her. And so that's why Judy's my number one.
How would you get Dench on board?
I tell her that, like, Rylance was coming, like, and send some emails around. I think she'd turn up.
You do it mainly by email?
Well, I'm hoping that Judy's on her emails. I think she would be.
Has she got email?
I don't know. Let's find out. Call out there. Has Judi Dench got an email address?
I've got a proposal. Danny, what about you?
I think I would go for a director.
You can have more than one because it's a commune.
Yeah.
But go.
I think I would go for Wes Anderson.
Yeah, nice. And for the decorating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about you, Helen?
Well, I've come up with a whole list because I knew this question.
Helen's commune, go.
Emma Thompson.
Yes.
Stuart Little.
Oh, great.
The Mouse.
Yeah.
Shane Meadows. Mm-hmm. This is England director.
Yeah.
Steve Carell, for the laughs. Garth Jennings, who did Son of Rambo. Penelope Wilton. Jessica Hines.
Wait, was Penelope Wilton the one that was in the BFG?
Yeah, she was
the
queen.
Oh, interesting.
Would you
get her to be the queen?
No.
Okay.
She could just be herself. Jessica Hines, who does lots of comedy stuff. She was Yvonne in Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a film, but in 2012, she's like the marketing lady.
Oh, yes,
yeah. Emma Watson, because I've got love for Watson.
Yeah.
I'm on board with her. And also the bear from the animated short, The Bear.
And how are you getting all of these guys together? Email?
No. I would have a party and invite them all.
And then lock the doors?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, so the main cast are Trine Duholm. I'm really sorry, by the way, I'm going to pronounce everyone's names wrong. But she plays Anna. And Ulrik Thompson plays Eric. So they're the main two that we first meet, as well as their daughter, Freya. What did you think of them in the beginning of the film in terms of their relationship?
You could tell it was strained, I think. They looked like they'd been together for a long time and, you know, it wasn't quite what it used to be. I don't think I was necessarily expecting the relationship to go the way that it did go. What about you?
I liked them together. Mm-hmm. I thought... I didn't really think it was that strained. I thought they were, like, stressed.
Yeah, stressed with life.
I thought they were quite strong, actually.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
They seemed really lovely with each other. And then suddenly they decided that they're not.
Yeah. And, you know, they were... they obviously had differences of opinion about the house, which, by the way, is so when the film begins, they've been left with this big house because
mm-hmm.
One of his relatives had died, and they have to decide whether they're going to take it or not. And that's like the beginning of a horror movie, right?
Most definitely. Yeah, you can tell things are going to go wrong from there on.
Like, that's kind of a trope.
Yeah.
And so obviously they have some differences in opinion. Eric doesn't want to... have the house.
Mm-hmm.
Anna does, and she Freya
comes up with this like idea for the commune really quickly and easily. I don't think it'll be like my first natural choice, like, oh, I wonder what I'll do.
I feel apparently in the 70s that was a big thing
with the commune.
Yeah.
Line.
Yeah,
okay, so it might have been more in like the kind of peripheral.
Yeah,
all right, makes more sense.
I think she had that plan in her head for a while though.
Do you reckon?
Yeah,
because I thought for the beginning, because the first person they get in is Ole, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought she fancied him. I thought that's why. I thought she was having an affair with him. Although that's not the case. But that was my theory to begin with for the start of the film.
I know, didn't they get?
Oh, I thought that too, actually.
Yeah.
Because they were friends beforehand and mm-hmm. she really wanted to live with him.
The good thing about this film is I think that you can come up with loads of theories the whole way through as to where it's going to go. Because obviously, I don't think you ever put a big group of adults in a house together and expect it to go swimmingly, do you?
No. So let's talk about... So they decide that they will have a commune.
Yeah.
And they start to get people in. What did you think about the introduction of the characters?
Yeah, I liked that. I quite liked the kind of interview setup they had and the way it went through quite quickly. And it was nice to sort of get an introduction to each of the characters and like their differences and their quirks and stuff.
It was quite funny as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, the whole film was obviously a drama, but that bit was quite funny.
Yes.
And the tone a bit lighter.
Especially when you meet Alon, who, who just bursts into tears for no reason. He was brilliant. Who was your favourite out of the commune lot?
I think I like the little boy.
Oh, yeah.
He was really sweet, and I loved that he was trying to hit on girls by saying that he's going to die.
Yeah. He was playing on the macabre, wasn't he?
He was. That was Vlads.
Oh, yes.
Vlads, is that his name? Played by Sebastian Grønnegaard Milbratt. So he plays a 6-year-old boy, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With a heart condition. And then Alon that you mentioned is Ferez.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's great. I wasn't expecting him to cry.
No, I thought he was like making it up. You know, like
yes.
When he like kind of ran away in tears and I thought, oh, he's going to turn around and be laughing. No, he's quite deadly serious about the tears, wasn't he?
He really...
And he brings it back.
It was funny because he's being really annoying.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I always annoy people.
Yeah, it was very funny. And yeah, I was surprised that they let him into the commune after that, but they obviously found it endearing.
There's also a thing about they're trying to get people to pay the rent.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't really become about that in the end.
No, no one's paying for anything in the end, are they?
Most of them don't have any money.
And there's a funny little scene where they're talking about, like, the beers and, like, who's been having the beers and not paying for them and holding a beer amnesty.
Doesn't go well.
Does not go well. About, well, but who's there and not drinking the beers? That's what I want to know.
The kids?
Relax.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I don't know, Freya looked like she was having a few.
Freya, I loved Freya.
Freya was really good.
That's Anna and Eric's daughter, played by Martha Sophie Wallstrom Hansen. Very good performance.
Yeah, brilliant. How old is she actually? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
She looked very convincing as a 14-year-old girl. I wonder if she is that kind of age.
14, but very intelligent for her.
Oh, yeah, really growing up, definitely.
And there's one scene in particular. We're going to say this isn't a spoiler because it's in the trailer.
Yeah.
So Eric has an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And Freya is the one that finds them. And her performance in that scene I thought was outstanding.
Yeah, she was amazing. There was a real time in that scene where you just did not know which way it was going to turn with her. She was like quite a really long pregnant pause over it. And yeah, her kind of handling of the situation was so remarkably adult.
Yeah, I think she ended up being the parent and with her actual parents towards the end, especially.
Definitely, because there weren't really any parenty figures in the commune. Yeah. They'd all kind of reverted into a kind of childlike state, not really taking responsibility for anything. And yeah, she was definitely one of the most responsible there.
And she has her own journey that she goes on throughout the film, but then sort of the resolution of that story sort of marks the end.
Mm-hmm.
I found that there were lots of kind of circles that happened in this film, so lots of repeating of themes. Some of them I can't really talk about at the moment because they're spoilers, but like at the beginning, they her mother and Freya are trying to show that you can still hear noises.
Oh yes.
And then later Anna talks about hearing Eric and Emma, the woman he's having an affair with, in bed together.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of that idea that at first she was like, see, it's so good, you can hear.
You can hear everything. Yeah. You're never disconnected in this house. Yeah. And then obviously the longing for disconnection from what's going on for Anna becomes a big problem.
Which I thought was really clever.
Mm. And she's like a minor celebrity, Anna, as well, isn't she?
Yeah, so Anna works as a news reporter. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really work out what that added to the film.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice, wasn't it? Because at the beginning of the film, you saw her getting asked for an autograph, and then it wasn't really a big deal. The rest of the film didn't kind of change anything. But I wondered how much it was about how she could be having like such a public meltdown of her life. She had no escape because obviously when things were going wrong, she was living in the commune, so she didn't have her home as a private space. And then obviously her job was public on the television, and so her meltdowns were...
Yeah, that's what I thought. And also I think she was famous for a very long time doing the news forecast, obviously. And then when that, at the point of the film, it's obviously a lot later and she's already starting not to be as popular.
Mm-hmm.
And that falls apart along with her marriage at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense as well, actually. Kind of her journey is sort of about fading out of the limelight and out of the favour of, I suppose, her home life and her public life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't really consider that, but that, I think that's a nice way to look
at
it. I just couldn't really find how it fitted in. Like, because you see her on TV at certain points, and there's a point where Freya uses her mother's voice to comfort her, and then later the TV is on with her mum while Freya is having sex.
Yeah, so, yeah. That was quite interesting.
Strange.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of her not being able to escape wherever she went.
Yeah, I suppose. Do you think it's that thing of not being able to escape? I suppose it's a big theme in the film.
Yeah, the claustrophobic nature of like human relationships, I suppose.
So once they all agree to live together, and they celebrate this by having a big old skinny dip.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite parts of the film.
It's so great, right?
Yeah, really fun.
And I kind of wanted to bring that up as well because there's obviously a long history of nudity in films, and it was kind of great because this wasn't sexualized nudity at all, and it was really like real bodies.
And yeah, and just kind of like reckless abandon and fun. And
it seemed so fun.
It did seem fun, didn't it?
Do you think we're moving away from that now? in film.
What, the kind of use of nudity in a non-sexual
like kind
way?
Kind of just putting it, like putting in, because there is kind of a thing of just they put in a naked girl to sell the film.
Yeah, yeah. You think we're moving, you're asking me if we're moving away from putting in naked girls to...
Yeah.
Well, I really hope we are. whether or not, I mean, yes, I think so. I don't think that, you know, that can keep going on in the kind of more aware and politicised world that we're living in with, like, social media, people commenting and saying that it's not okay all the time. There was a film that came out last year called Dirty Grandpa, I think it was, with and basically the poster image of that was just a girl's bum bent over with the two main guys on it. It was so awful, and they got so much sort of like backlash from it on the internet, and I hope that that means that this kind of thing is stopping and we are just experiencing and expressing people in their more natural forms and not sexualizing them in a naked way.
Definitely, because I don't think the answer is just not to have nudity.
No,
film,
not at all.
Obviously, but I really liked how this film did it.
Mm-hmm. And there was nudity from quite early on, actually, between Anna and Eric, wasn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, they have quite a realistic sex scene.
Yeah.
And that's again another reason why I thought they were quite strong as a mm-hmm. couple, because they were still intimate with each other.
Yeah, yeah. But I could sense that, but I did still get a foreboding kind of from them that there was something that wasn't quite right.
Yeah. That kind of horror movie thing.
About yeah.
I definitely got that as well. But I wasn't sure what was going to happen. So let's talk about the introduction of Emma,
mm-hmm.
which is the much younger girl that Eric has an affair with.
And looks scarily like Anna.
Okay, so when it first came up, I thought it was a flashback.
Yeah. She was so similar looking, wasn't she?
I thought it was how they met.
Oh, interesting.
And then I was like, oh, wait.
No, this is a new girl and he's still just as old.
What did you think about that scene?
Well, I thought it moved really quickly. I wasn't really entirely sure what was going on because he'd previously been having a go at another student, because he's kind of on the brink all the time, isn't he, of some kind of like collapse.
So he's a man that faints when he's angry.
Oh yeah, I forgot that. That's really funny.
He gets
funny.
So angry that he faints.
Also, don't you think he gets angry for no reason a lot
of
the time?
He gets ridiculously angry.
So he gets really angry at this student. And
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And then Emma comes along to his office to talk about it. I didn't really understand why she came along. She obviously fancied him. Not
no,
sure
she wants
why.
To talk about her project.
Her project, right. Okay. And then she...
So she says.
And then he kind of is like, oh, well, we can go and talk about it over dinner. And she's like, well, how about a cigarette? And it just moves so quickly. And she was like, kiss me. I was like, where did this come from?
Did you find him a bit creepy in that scene?
I found him a little bit creepy the whole way through the film, if I'm honest.
Also, what did you think of his complaint that he has to just deal with all these woman problems?
Oh, well, when she goes and is like, your wife needs help from
yeah,
me, you need
so
to talk
when,
to her.
When the affair is taking its course and is having an impact on Anna, mm-hmm. he gets really angry and he says, oh, I'm busy. I have to deal with all these women problems.
I suppose it was the 70s, wasn't it? But I don't know. I didn't have a lot of sympathy for Eric throughout the whole film.
No.
I just thought he was kind of ruining everyone's lives. Like, everyone's having a nice time in the commune. Eric starts shouting. They're living a happy family life. Eric has an affair. Just kind of...
And it seemed like he didn't care about his wife or his mistress at all.
Yeah, not really.
He was so cold towards Anna when he brought Emma in.
Mm-hmm.
And Emma seemed to care more about Anna than he did.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think poor Emma kind of got stuck in the middle of it. She was, I mean, I know she initiated the affair, but she was 24 and she was trying her best, I suppose, to be an adult in the situation.
But I think no one was really to blame for this situation.
Yeah. What you think?
Would you agree?
Well, you think that was going to kind of happen anyway?
Well, I don't think the film takes a point of view where it's someone's fault.
No. I mean, and Anna's actually very accepting of the fact that, you know, I'm not blind, obviously, this is what you want, and I'm not fulfilling that for you anymore. And she's quite accepting of it.
But also, Anna is the one that comes up with the idea of a commune.
Yep.
Eric doesn't want to go in a commune.
That's true.
So she wanted other people in their relationship as well, because she was bored of being just
the two of them. That's actually a really good point. I hadn't really thought of it like that, because I've been blaming Eric in my head a lot for this. But it's true. She did say that she was bored and that she didn't have any conversation left with him anymore.
I don't think it's necessarily Eric's fault.
No.
I don't really think it's anyone's fault. I think it's just something that happens.
Yeah, because I don't think she expected that he would go off with someone else either, but with the commune and everything. It's probably...
But I think in the commune, that was the thing, isn't it? You put a group of adults in a house together and you're like definitely waiting for something to happen, like sexual tension wise. You know, that's the classic story, isn't it? That they're always going to start having affairs, and that's exactly what I was expecting. But it was quite interesting that the problems with that didn't actually come from inside the commune at all. It came from outside and was brought into it. So interesting that to kind of flip that on its head a bit.
But also Anna... There's a key scene where Anna's not listening to Eric. He's trying to talk about their project, and she's just flirty. She's been quite flirty with all the people, and she's really enjoying their new company. And I didn't know if there was some kind of thing about youth for her, because she said, "Oh, I don't want to be with you, old man." Like, as a joke, she was like, "We should be living in interesting times." And I suppose the film analyses the extent to interesting times and how much you can cope with.
That's really interesting. I wonder, because obviously we're saying the 70s was like a time when, or the 60s, 70s, when communes are happening now, and this was obviously a film made now, but in the past. What would happen if we had a commune now? How different would it be, or if this film was set in present day?
That's a really good point. I hadn't really thought about it. I wonder how much technology would have an impact on it. Because they do a lot of sitting around the table and talking.
And obviously we're notoriously bad for that now with our phones.
We're quite isolated still.
It's interesting, isn't it, that there was a period of time where everyone thought, oh, this will be the new way of living. We're all going to live together and bandy together. And actually, what we've done is kind of separate off even more into our own kind of personal worlds rather than... Yeah.
Would you live in a commune? I would.
Yeah, I reckon I would.
Would you, Danny?
I'm not sure. I haven't thought about it. It depends with whom, I suppose. I don't know if
Judy
I would...
Dent?
Yeah.
And Stuart Little?
I think if it was with people I know, probably, but...
I mean, uni is a bit like living in a commune.
Yeah. It is a little bit. You get put in a group of... with a group of people in houses that you've never met before. But I feel like commune is even bigger than that, isn't it? You've got to have, like, 10 to make it a commune.
Yeah, and when it comes to kind of raising children, there's no real parent. It's just they are raised by the commune.
By the group. Yeah.
Which is, I think, a cool idea.
I'm into it, Helen. So if you can track a commune down.
And Dench.
And Judy Dench, yeah. I'm not moving anywhere without Judy Dench.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Thank you. Let me know next week.
So Peter Bradshaw in The Guardian kind of talked about this idea that the film raises a question of whether Anna is allowed ownership of her feelings when everything in the house becomes shared.
Ooh.
And is she allowed ownership of her husband or not? Mm. And she kind of comes to the conclusion that because she allows Emma, the new woman that Eric is having an affair with, to move into the commune.
Yeah.
Because she feels like that's fair. What do you think about that?
Well, she's a lot nicer than me. I don't think I would have been letting Emma move into the commune. But, and also actually, the people in the commune didn't really want Emma to move in. There was like a real contention. I can't remember the little boy's mum's name. Stefan and...
Diet.
Yes. She was like, oh, I can't let her move in. I can't see this happening to you, Anna. You're breaking down. But she kind of says, I want her to move in here for the good of everyone else, for no one should be excluded from living here. So she kind of puts it on herself, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think she was trying to not get her marriage ruined, I think. Because she probably was thinking that, oh, if I let her be here, at least I'm not going to lose him. I will just share
him. Yeah, let it run its course and I'll still be there.
Yeah.
Do you think she felt like she had to do that because it was her idea to come up with a commune?
The pressure of it.
Yeah.
More in love with the idea of a commune?
What, then with her husband?
Yeah.
I think probably for a while she was. And then it's that typical thing is you don't know what you've got until it's taken away from you. And I think she did, well, she quite evidently didn't cope well at all with the loss of her husband to another woman.
So she has quite a big breakdown within the film.
Yeah, huge breakdown. I felt for her a lot, actually, during that. Because, you know, if something like that happens to you, the last thing you want is an audience for it. And she doesn't get any private grieving time. And also, it's right in her face the whole time. Yeah, and I don't think she gets a huge amount of sympathy.
Her main support is Freya, her daughter, who is really strong.
She is, the whole way through.
And it's Freya who suggests that her mum actually moves out. And she says, I think you can do this.
You've got to get away from this situation. Yeah.
It was quite heartbreaking, though, to have to tell your mother to
leave.
Yeah.
And it was quite interesting as well that Freya didn't say, oh, I'll go with you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, I thought she would.
Yeah.
But Freya likes the commune.
Yeah, Freya loved it.
We're going to move on more to spoiler territory now. Although Peter Bradshaw was saying that the film sounds like a basis for a commercial and easygoing Hollywood remake.
yeah, I could see it.
Can you imagine that?
I don't think it would be as good a film,
no.
But I could see it happening.
Like the trailer, it would be you don't know what you've got till it's gone. The song that playing, and then it would have some tagline like, if nine is company, then three's a crowd. Right?
That's a really clever tagline.
It would be awful.
I mean, it would be awful. I'd still probably watch it.
So I'm so glad this film was made in the way that it was made.
Yeah.
Because you could ruin this plot.
Yeah, so most definitely. You can make it so cheesy, can you?
I want to talk about Vilads.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the little boy who has a heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
And he's introduced at the beginning of saying, I'm going to die when I'm nine.
Yeah, that's his favourite line, isn't it?
He says it all the time. And he says it's to try and get girls who are much older than him. He even tries it on with Emma.
Yeah.
I think just about his opener is you want to... Oh, can I say it? Oh, I can't say the word. He asks if
he
they want to sleep
her.
Together.
Yeah.
The word he uses is really good. I probably can't say it. So there's a moment at Christmas time.
Uh-huh. They're all having a big party.
And then his heart goes...
And it's touch and go at that point.
What did you think of that moment? And what did you think was going to happen?
Well, I definitely thought that might have been it for him.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. It was like kind of the typical thing where you thought, oh, this is going to happen now because everyone's so jubilant, everyone's so happy, and nothing had really gone wrong at Christmas point, had it? Everyone was still really happy living together. The cracks hadn't started to show. And I thought, oh, this is it. This is the turning point, and this is what's going to happen with this film, is that how do they cope with the loss of this child within this community. But obviously, that's not what happens. And I think that was quite an interesting thing to do.
So you get the big moment of relief.
Mm-hmm.
And then?
And then everything else in the commune comes crashing down.
Yeah.
And then, are we in spoiler territory now? Oh, good, sorry,
yeah.
I didn't realise we were there. Well then, obviously, right near the end of the film, we have a kind of similar scene with another like musical score. We've got Goodbye Yellow Brick Road playing and everyone's kind of uniting again after having
Anna's moved out, things
having
are slowly returning to normal,
yeah, and then it all goes wrong again and the lad's heart goes
and he's gone
and I actually really thought, oh, he'll be okay again. Because also he keeps saying he's going to die when he's nine, not when he's six. And then, it's really, really sad.
The second time I thought he was going to die.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because as you said, everything goes back to normal. I'm like, nah.
Can't stay like that.
No.
And there's a really key scene where they scatter his ashes in the sea. On the same place where they skinny dipped in the beginning, which is what I was talking about, that cyclical nature.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so there is another point that I know that you would think that it's called the commune, but it's not really about a commune.
I did sometimes feel like the more interesting film for me would have been to have looked more at the commune characters and not had them as such background supporting roles and had them more in the forefront. So I felt they were quite like typecast. You know, you had the woman who slept around a bit. You had, you know, someone who was a real lefty, and then the parents who were kind of raising a smaller child. But you didn't really get to know any of them. And I think for a film called The Commune, I would have liked to have got to know them more.
I think that's a valid point.
Yeah.
Do you think it should have just had a different title?
Well, I don't know. Well, potentially, yes. Because I think, you know, if you call a film The Commune, you expect it to be about a commune, not about someone's relationship going wrong that happens, so happens to be in a commune, which is kind of what I felt it was a little. But that might be me being unfair. I don't know what you guys thought about that.
Well, I have a theory that mm-hmm. the characters around the table represent the different elements of love.
Ooh.
Or the different sides of love. So you have lust, you have emotional, like, upset, crying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Ole is drunk all the time and sort of burns stuff.
Yeah.
So that kind of destruction element. And then obviously Vlad's,
mm-hmm.
I think he's really important because he has a heart problem.
Helen, that's very clever. I don't know how that passed me
by.
But
like, I think that's kind of key to the film.
Yeah.
And when Freya comes with her new, so she's got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And everything has gone full circle. His heart literally gives up.
Oh, yeah. Big metaphor there that just
swooped
past me.
Oh, I think it is quite
metaphorical. Yeah.
And when you look at films that analyse the breakdown of the relationship, so you've got something like Blue Valentine, which mm-hmm. is so claustrophobic,
yeah,
with Michelle Williams and Ryan Gosling, that it's just about those two people uh-huh. in two different elements of time. But then you've got things like The One I Love with Elizabeth Moss that kind of looks at a relationship breaking down, and that uses other characters as well, albeit kind of a mirror mm-hmm. image of them. And I think that this is actually about a relationship breaking down, but with other characters who add to a sense of claustrophobia uh-huh. and a sense of no privacy, but also I think are there for a kind of metaphorical reason.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I'm actually, it's really interesting to think about, and it makes me more sympathetic to my my commune woes. But yeah, no, I really liked it. I really think that's a great idea.
I'm not sure the film 100% pulls it off.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't know if there's some sort of seven deadly sins thing going on, because there's like seven of them, but I think that's looking into it too much. But, and I wish, I kind of could have made it, it could have been more sci-fi to me.
Okay.
In terms of, or just more surreal, in terms of the people in the commune just turn up and it's never really
explained why.
I would have quite liked that element to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the film that he was trying to make.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I liked it for that.
I think that's really interesting. I think it needs another watch, definitely, because there's a lot to unpack within it, and I think a second watch would really help me out, I think, to kind of understand all that was going on within the different dynamics.
Definitely. Another standout scene that I just very quickly want to mention, we're just about to wrap up, is when Anna is just about to go on air, and there's a countdown, and the whole relationship is just overwhelming her so much
mm-hmm.
and that was very, very strong performance from her.
Yeah, she was brilliant. I thought her performance throughout the whole film was incredible.
She was
the standout
amazing.
For me.
Yeah. Any final points before we wrap up, guys?
Just that I think it's a great film. It's great to watch a foreign language film. I think some people do shy away from it sometimes, but this story is, you know, it's a brilliant story to get your teeth into, and you should check it out on Curzon Home Cinema.
Definitely. Also, don't shy away from foreign language
Yeah,
films,
please don't.
Because it's actually really easy to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it that when I look back on it, I remember it in English.
Yeah, it's true,
like,
actually.
I remember it as though they said those words. All right, so we're going to wrap up now. I'd like to thank CSR for letting us use their studio. And The Commune is on Curzon Home Cinema, as well as other Vinterberg films. So it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And from me.
Thank you. Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.